exercising the P's. Patience. I mean, that was clever, wasn't it? Patience. Everybody's already starting to moan. Perseverance. Persistence. And then I found another one. Practice. Oh my, there's a lot of good P's. Anyway, let's read from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit what has been promised." And, you know, this is a truth that applies to everything in life, not just, you know, obtaining the kingdom of God. But, you know, we don't get to the kingdom by being lazy. We don't get to the kingdom by giving up at the last moment. You know, and so last week I talked about how God loves us, how He loves you even in the bad times. And, you know, He's not mad. I know a lot of people want to try to convince the world that God's mad at them and he's punishing everybody. He's not mad. He's excited to bless you. God loves blessing you. He lives to bless you. But God is a gentleman. And He has given you the gift of free will. He gave you free will because He has free will. And He didn't hold anything back. God wants you to have everything He has. And so without being elaborate, what having free will means to you is you must receive what God has for you. You know, He doesn't just automatically force His blessings upon you. You have to receive them. And He does not force His blessings upon you. You receive them by believing. And if you cannot believe to receive, then you're not ready for His blessings anyway. You're not blessing, you're ready for the blessings God desires to give you. But it's not that He's holding back. We just have not grown to the point where we're ready to be blessed. And sometimes that's hard to admit or to understand or to realize, but God wants to bless us more than you might think you really want to be blessed. Trust me, He wants you to bless you even more than you want to be blessed. And so one of the problems that we have with faith to receive God's blessings is that we're double-minded. And, well, I know probably most of you aren't, but a few of us here are double-minded. And fear and doubt enter in to our thinking, and we extinguish the any faith that we might have. I don't know if you have ever been sure about something and excited about it, only to second-guess yourself about 5 minutes later. And, you know, start wondering, you know. And, I mean, my goodness, it can be a nightmare trying to figure out what to cook for supper. And then you finally make a decision. Then you got to wonder whether you made the right decision. I mean, life is tough, right? And that's just the beginning of it. So you know, things, you know, doubts. It's just part of who we are, part of what we do, and it affects us. And so we're always dealing with that. Go with me to James chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 6-8. It says, but when you ask, talking about asking God for things, you must believe and not doubt. And it says, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. And I don't like to accept that definition of myself as being unstable. I am more stable than I used to be, but I can waffle. I can go back and forth, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know. And the trouble that we cause God, I mean, it's like, you know, now we believe and we're excited. Now we don't. Now we do. Now we don't. I don't know how He can keep up with it all. But again, God's not mad at you, praise the Lord. Isn't that good news? But you must learn not to be double-minded so that you can receive His blessings. If you can't conquer being double-minded about everything all the time, you're just not going to, it's not that God's mad, it's not that He doesn't want to give it to you, you're just not going to be able to receive it. You're going to shut the door on it before, it's like when the UPS man gets there, you know, you won't let him on the property. And, you know, and so, it's, you know, you order it, but then you won't let it deliver it. And we're just back and forth and back and forth. And so we have to decide, do you want this or you don't want this? You know, you want the order or you're canceling the order? You know, where are you at on this? And it's like a nightmare taking care of us. And so we must learn not to be double-minded. Again, God's not mad at you, but you must learn. Again, there isn't. Here's the deal, though. There's not this magic switch that you can pull. Because if there was, I would have pulled it a long time ago. You know, if I could just have determined one day, because I've done it several times, I am no longer going to be double-minded any longer. You know, and if that determination was all it took, boy, I'll tell you what, I would never second-guess anything. I'd be so sure of everything. But you just can't fix it that way. What fixes being double-minded is practice, or that's one word we could use. And so, in other words, just by going at it again and again, and when we fail, when we doubt, when we get into unbelief, when we change our mind and say we don't want that after all, even though maybe we're not intentionally thinking that's what we're doing, we are, then we have to say, I changed it. Come, let's do this again. Let's put the order in. Let's try again. And you just keep doing it until finally, one day, you eventually get it. And that's called perseverance. You just keep at it. There's no sense blaming God or being mad at God or thinking that God somehow doesn't love you or doesn't want to bless you or any of those kinds of things. He does. You just got to get your believing right and your mind right and all of those things. And the only way you do that is by sticking with it. If you won't stick with something, you're just not going to ever get there. And it's just a requirement. Proverbs 16:32 says this. Better. Everybody know what the word better means? Okay, there's better. Better a patient man than a warrior. In other words, you know, now, a warrior has a lot of potential. You know, if you was in a bind and you needed protection or the boogeyman was coming to get you, you know, a skilled warrior, you might consider them to be a wonderful asset to have. You know, I mean, you know, and so, but a warrior, again, like I say, has a lot of potential, but if he quits as soon as it gets tough, I mean, as soon as someone gets up there and starts talking smack to him, he turns around and runs off. What good is that? I mean, he's not gonna accomplish anything. He's not gonna win any battles. He's not gonna do any good because he just quits. And so it doesn't matter how much skill he has or how strong he's become or what kind of belt he has. If he's running off when everything gets tough every time, he's not any good to you. But a weaker, untrained person who never gives up will eventually win. And, you know, being a warrior with patience and perseverance, I mean, that would be great. Okay, that'd be the best of all worlds there. But if you must pick between warrior and patience, pick patience. And so, you know, what I'm telling you is just being bullheaded and stubborn, or being able to get the gusto on, being able to, you know, get yourself all excited and jumping up and down, that's all great. But if you don't have a thing called patience, if you can't stick with it, if you can't keep when all the feelings and emotions are gone and everything looks like it's sinking, if you can't stick with it, you're just never going to get anywhere. Patience is better than being a warrior, which is good news for us who aren't always so skilled at everything. You know, I don't care if you think you're the last rung on the ladder. You know, if you possess patience and perseverance, you're going to become the top rung. And, you know, you can make all these excuses and you can feel sorry for yourself and you can just feel, oh, I must be last place when, you know, God gave gifts to people or whatever the case was. And you can think all of that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you'll just learn to be patient in life and persistent in things, you'll go to the top. And because everybody else is going to be quitting all the time. And so just by mere sticking with something, by just being persistent with it, and you know, and just keep running the course, you're going to eventually, you're going to find yourself at the top. And then you're going to look out there and you're going to think, my gosh, how did that happen? How did I get here? I mean, you know, I was voted least likely to succeed. And here I am, you know, praise God. I mean, God, and it's just that ability to stick with your faith with God. Jesus told a story about an unjust judge. And there's the master volume maybe or something. There it went down. All right, so it says Jesus told a story about an unjust judge. And there was this widow. And she kept coming to him and to seek justice. And, I mean, she was a pest. And I don't know if you've ever met a pest before, but anyway. And anyway, so the judge did not care about her. You know, he didn't feel any compassion towards her. He didn't really care about her plight. He didn't care about anyone but himself. And he didn't care about God. But nevertheless, he granted her justice. Not because it was the right thing to do. He did it so that she wouldn't keep coming and bugging him all the time. So it was for his own purposes that he did the right thing. And so Jesus told this story to show us that we should always pray and never give up. Never. Everybody understand the word never give up. Always. Always pray about whatever is bothering you. Always pray what you're facing against and never give up. So the point was, how much more, if this old unjust judge will grant this lady what she wants or needs or what is right, just to get her off his back, how much more will an all-powerful, loving Father in heaven grant justice to his children who he loves? And so most certainly we have a better chance of God helping us than some widow does by bugging an unjust judge. We're in a little bit better situation than that. And so we need to have confidence in God. But God's not mad. And so the reason that we don't receive is not because God is mad at us. We don't need to bug him to death in order to get him to do something for us. He's not an unjust judge. That's not what Jesus is saying. It's just that it takes a lot of persistence on our part to receive, because we're slow, because we're double-minded. And so what you do is you pray, and then you doubt, and then you don't receive. And the answer to that is not to get mad at God, you know, not to get all down, just realize that, you know what, that's kind of how it is for us. And so you pray again, and then you doubt, and you don't receive, and so you just do it again. And you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again until you get it right, until you don't doubt and you receive. And just don't ever stop doubting God. That's the point. That's why we're persistent. You know, I don't care how many times I fall down and I goof it up. That's one thing. But God will always let me come back and try again. And so as long as he's willing, then the trick is just never give up going and trying. Because, you know, he's just like, he's got it in his hand. And, you know, he's ready to hand it to us. And so you just have to keep at it until you don't doubt. For us, because we are slow, it takes a lot of tries. And I don't know, a lot of people get frustrated very easily. And just after a few tries, they give up on something. And other people, when something doesn't go well, that just gets them going. You know, that just gets them, now wait and see. And so we just need to be tenacious with God and never give up. Do not give up because you think God's rejecting you. Just accept that you're slow and then you work on it. And guess what? You're not the only slow person. And you're not the only one who fails. You're not the only one who doubts and gets into unbelief. And, you know, you're not the only one that goes through those things. And so if it takes you a year or a decade or a lifetime to receive, so be it. And don't be comparing yourself to somebody else. You know, if it takes even a whole lifetime to receive something, that's not very long when you compare it to an eternity. You know, giving up and never receiving from God for all eternity is much more tragic than having to go at it over and over again. You know, being slow isn't the worst thing that can happen to you. And what the worst thing that can happen to you is you to finally give up and not go at it again. That's the worst thing that can happen to you. And so when Jesus spoke of his persecution, I you hear me talk about this story a lot, but it's because it's so amazing. Jesus is talking about that he's, you know, going to be persecuted, and Peter was like all brave, you know he was Jesus' best friend, you know, and he's like, oh man, no, I'll go to prison with you, You know, I'll even die with you if that's what it takes. You know, and I mean, Peter, he was the man. You know, he was in there. You know, he was in the corner of Jesus. You know, full bore. And I mean, you know, if you wanted someone you could depend upon, you know, you needed somebody like Peter in your corner. But not really, because Jesus told him, no, you're not. You know, you won't. In fact, before morning comes, you're going to deny me three times. And you're going to wimp out at every opportunity that you have to stand with me. You're going to wimp out and cry and run away. And so Peter didn't really have a good sense of who he was. And so Jesus didn't get mad at. What's interesting, Jesus didn't get mad at Peter because he was such a loser. Okay, he says, Peter, he says, I prayed for you, and you know, and when you recover, you know, when you get over this disaster, you know, that you're going to go through, then I want you to get back up and get to living and get going and do what you should have been doing all along. You know, you just got to forget it, learn from it, and move along. And so Jesus saw that Peter would eventually overcome his fear. And so it didn't particularly bother Jesus that Peter was going to mess up. I mean, I'm sure for Peter's sake he didn't want him to, but you know, God can get us over the top of things. So Jesus knows that we do not get it on the first try. And so, you know, when you don't get it on the first try, when you've been a little slow, you know, believe it or not, he's just not that surprised by that. You probably didn't think you was going to be so slow in life. You know, once you start getting a little older, you go, man, I'm slower than I thought I would be. You know, I mean, I knew I wasn't the top rung, but I didn't quite realize I was so far down. You know, I mean, this is sad. You know, and life has a way of taking away some of your confidence and beating you down and teaching you that you're not all what you think you are, and so. But praise God, Jesus knows that about us. He knows that we don't get it on the first try, and that's why he's there to help us. Sometimes 70 times 7 is not enough. And so the way you fix being double-minded, the way that you fix doubt and unbelief is to keep trying. You must exercise patience. And you just always have to think about that. You know, it's hard sometimes. I mean, you want to quit. You get so mad. Have any of you, as an adult, wanted to run away from home? You know, just get in the car and drive off. Might not even take the car, just leave. And you know, and so we can get frustrated. We can be tempted. I know none of you have ever wanted to quit a job before. More than once a day. But you know, we just have that. When things get tough, things are going rough, when it's not like we like, you know, it's hard. So the way we fix that is we practice patience. We must be persistent, and we have to persevere in that. You know, so there's a time when Jesus, he cursed a fig tree, and the next day they came back by it and it was all dried up. And his apostles, they were like astonished. You know, usually a tree can't dry out that fast. But in Mark, I want to read this. It's Mark 11, 22 through 24, and it says, "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. Because they do. Oh my! Look at this. He tells them, "Have faith in God." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, forget about a fig tree. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Okay. In this story, the tree dried up immediately. That meant by the next day. I mean, it didn't dry up before their eyes as they were standing there looking at it. It wasn't that kind of immediate. For some people, you see, they wouldn't be impressed unless they did it right before their eyes at that time, you know. And I mean, they pray to God, and I mean, they expect that that's supposed to happen. Well, you should have had the answer for that before you got the prayer off your lips. And, you know, I mean, you know, what's, you know, why is God going so slow? And so, I mean, some people have different perspective of what patience requires. And they read a story like this, think, well, if I had to wait the next day, I could handle that. Maybe. Maybe in some things, you couldn't wait till the next day. I think there's probably a lot of people who make some pretty bad decisions that if they would have just waited till the next day, they would have done something different. And so it did not dry up before their very eyes. And so sometimes the answer God gives takes generations to manifest. Imagine that. You're believing God for something, not only is it not going to manifest in your generation or the next or the next or the next, it's going to maybe five generations down before it ever manifests. And we just don't think like that sometimes. That's not in our realm of thinking. Anyway, I'm aware that I may not see the fruits of my labors in this lifetime. We all like to see the fruits of our labor to feel good about it. And when you're seeing all them shingles on the ground and all that work to be done after you slaved and sweat for how many days these guys have, they can probably look at that and be just a little discouraged. You know, instead of counting how many shingles are up there on that roof and all the work they've accomplished, they just kind of see what's left and they go, oh. You know, I don't know. I hope they're not that way, but it's possible that could have that kind. And so when we see the fruits of what we've done, then we have a total different outlook towards it. And I like to think about ladies having babies. I'm an expert at that. And you can just see. I mean, like they've been carrying that baby for how long? And what month do they get sick of having that baby in their belly? And they want that baby, and that baby's, oh, and they dream, and they, you know, and they buy the clothes, and they do all the stuff, but then they come along at some point and say, I want that baby out, you know, and they're just like, they, you know, and then when they're in the middle of the labor, it's like, you know, oh my gosh, I mean, it really looks terrible. And then as soon as they have the little baby, as soon as the little baby's born, and they're holding their little baby, oh, now they see the fruit of it all, and they're so happy, so proud, and so glad. And so, you know, when you're able to see the fruit of things, it changes your outlook on something. You know, you feel better about it, you know, than something that's not completed. And so sometimes for us, you know, we want to see it. But sometimes, you know, we don't get to see the fruit of our labors. We don't always get to see those things. You don't always get that kind of immediate kind of gratification. We can only be inspired by faith. Or by understanding that just being persistent. The reason faith is ineffective many times is because we're not patient. We're not willing to be patient. And it's because we're not willing to overcome our the work it takes to not be double-minded. We just want to fuss, I guess. And so patience is knowing, you know, that God's working. If you know that God is on the job, I mean, sometimes it's like, you know, a kid's hungry and you say, I'm cooking it. Okay, as long as the food's cooking, they can handle it. Now, if you're married to them, they probably won't be able to handle it. They probably want that food right now. But you know, really at some point, you know, if we know something's being worked on, or it's, then that should give us, and that's why us guys, when our wives give us something to do, we always say, I'm working on that. And they go, okay. You know, that gets that buys us some time, you know. But normally, you know, the thought that God is working on something, or that, you know, God is at the, you know, on the, is on the job, you know, that should give us a sense of patience. Okay, we can handle this until it comes about. And so patience, it comes from just knowing God is working. But I want to talk more about perseverance. In James 1:2 through 4, it says this: consider it pure joy. Listen to this, and these things are hard for us, but they're imperative that we learn. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance, you see, that's an ingredient, we have to have it. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. And that's what we want to be. We want to be mature, we want to be complete, and we don't want to have any lack in any situation. And so if you want to have that be a characteristic of your life, to be mature, complete, and not lacking anything, then you are going to have this thing called perseverance. And I didn't say that trials are fun. It says consider it pure joy. And it's kind of like going to the gym. You know, workouts in the gym aren't fun, but we do it because we are considering that they're improving our life and that it's going to work good in our life. And so I don't think any of us can say that we have arrived. You know, our goal is to be mature, complete, not lacking anything. And I don't know if you can say that about your life. I certainly can't. But for us to be mature and complete, not lacking anything, we must be able to persevere. And not only say it like Peter did, but to actually be able to do it. And there's a difference between saying something and confessing that and actually doing it. Patience comes from faith, but perseverance is the ability to keep your patience under great pressure. How much pressure does it take before you fold? You know, you've decided, for instance, I am not going to get angry and curse next time somebody cuts me off in traffic. But then can you do that once a day, three times a day, once a month, how long can you maintain patience until you fold? How long can you persevere? How long you'll be so nice to that little fella, you know, I'm just going to be, you know, I'm not going to let him get under my skin this today like I did yesterday, whatever it is that's bothering you. How long can you do it before you fold? How much pressure's got to be put on you? Because we have those points. And so that's what perseverance is. It's just learning to maintain our patience no matter what. Jesus could do it, so he gives us the ability. And so you're going to give up a lot, though. Unfortunately, you're not going to persevere all the time. You're going to give up a lot more often than you should. You're going to throw your patience out way more often than you should. And so if perseverance is a must, we must have it to finish its work to make us mature and complete, lacking nothing, then as far as I'm concerned, let me get on with this process of developing patience. Because I don't want to be impatient. I don't want to be lacking. I don't want to be immature. I don't want all this stuff to have control over my life. I don't want this up and down. I don't want this double-mindedness. I don't want to be always a victim of circumstances. I don't want the weather to tell me whether I'm happy or not happy. I just get tired of that, you know. If I need this thing, perseverance, then let's get with it. Let's get to the gym and start developing perseverance. I mean, the gym of life. And so if I can only become mature by having my faith tested or by going through trials and hardships, then let the work commence, praise God, and we'll get on with it. You know, when Jesus comes back, the question is, will he find faith on earth? Will he find people willing to cry out night and day without giving up, or will he only find people who give up? They're like Peter. They say... they make vows, but when it really comes down to it, life gets tough. Things don't go the way they think. Whatever it is, they're done with it. You know, people don't just get in their cars and drive away from their homes. Sometimes they get in their cars and they drive away from God. They just cave. So instead of letting yourself get all discouraged because of some situation, find comfort by making up your mind that you're going to persevere. Just see it as, okay, here's a chance for me to move forward in this. And then if you fail, you'll get another chance. Don't worry about it. But I know there's been things recently in my life where there were certain things that were getting under my skin. And one day I just had a revelation that, you know what? What was getting under my skin wasn't right, but the point that it was getting under my skin wasn't right. And it said, you know what, before you even ask God to fix that, you need to get where that doesn't get under your skin. You need to get where you can maintain your joy and your happiness and your victory, regardless of a situation. And then after you get where you can do that, then you start looking for that situation to be solved and to go away. But it's wrong to just want our feelings and our life to be fixed by a situation being fixed. We should be able to get victory in our hearts and our minds first on the front side. Then we'll take care of the problem. And that's a process some of us just don't understand and we're not willing to go through. But when you do get the right outlook on it, it sure it makes you feel a little bit more optimistic. And so you just keep doing it. Find comfort by making up your mind that you're going to persevere. You don't have to have all the talents. You only need the ability to not give up. That's the key. And every one of us can learn not to give up. I don't care. If you are the dullest, worst tool out there, if you're the last hammer anybody, you're so rusty, I mean, I don't know how bad you are. It doesn't matter. If you don't give up, you're going to be the instrument that God wants and uses and blesses and matures and those kinds of things. All those P's are important. Patience, perseverance, persistence, and practice. They're the tools that we use to overcome our slowness. And we have to quit putting everything on the back of God when God has already done everything and when He's given us all the tools that we need. We got to quit just blaming Him, and we have to start putting those tools to work. And the tools we use to overcome slowness are those P's. And so we use them to overcome our doubt and unbelief instead of going all negative when you fail and thinking God has rejected you or that you're worthless. Turn your troubles into positives. Do that for the people around you also. Just because they make mistakes and they blow it and because they do all the dumb, of course, I'm sure no one does anything dumb around you, in your opinion, but just because they do those things, you don't have to throw them to the bottom of the barrel. You know, just keep encouraging them. You know, turn your troubles into positive by exercising the P's. And I think, again, these are important, probably not the most exciting things to hear about. I didn't hear a lot of amens today, but it was a good sermon nevertheless. But, you know, we live in times that if they're not troubling, they at least look troubling. If they're not disturbing times, they are at least making people disturbed. And so you have to figure out, you know, how are you going to prosper? And during this nuttiness that's going around you every day, how are you going to prosper in your soul? How are you going to get up and feel happy about life? How are you going to get up and feel blessed? You know, what good is it, you know, do if God, you are the blessed jewel of God's eye, but you get up and you feel like you're the worst thing on the face of the earth? That's just sad. So how are we going to get to those things with? Because these situations aren't going to be fixed. And so we have to do this in our hearts. This has to be fixed in here. Our victory has to come on the inside, and you just have to decide. You know what? I'm going with God. I'm believing with God. God loves me, and that's the way it is. And you just start exercising it, and you can live above all the craziness. You know, all the children may be in the living room having a brawl, fighting, screaming, bawling, and stuff like that. You can just be out there in the kitchen singing nothing, you know. But whatever it is you do, you know, you do not have to be in the muck, in the mire of all of the stuff that's going on in the world, that's going on around us. You do not have to participate. I know you've been given a big invitation, that you're given a big invitation every day. You don't have to go for it. The people around you who should be loving you and encouraging you and trying to give you a boost right now are probably so mixed up themselves that they're pulling you down instead of lifting you up. But that doesn't make any difference. You have to just rise above that and pull them up, give them a boost, and be a part of that. You'll have a blessed life. Because some of this stuff isn't going to end for a long time. All right, praise God. Father God, I thank you so much for your goodness, your mercies. Father, I thank you that you love us, that you have not called us to those that shrink back or that will disappear or give up or go down the wrong road. Father, I thank you that you have put within us a tenacious spirit. Lord, that you put within us the sight to see the blessings that belong to us. Father, thank you that you help us to take our eyes off the desires of the world, the things that will not provide comfort or joy or peace or any of the things that we think we need, but that we would see clearly, truthfully, the qualities, Lord, that give us the life that you desire us to have. Thank you, Lord, that you have not abandoned your children, but you continue to teach us, to love us, to help us, to guide us, and that we move forward day by day. We thank you for the opportunity to live in this day, this hour, this time, that our lights might shine brightly. In Jesus' name, amen.